This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mr. Durham, good morning. Hope you had a good weekend.
I'm doing fine, Pack. It's a busy show. Seth Greenberg will be here at 8 o'clock. Neil Ivey, the head women's coach at Notre Dame, at 8:30. Justin Champagne, the double-double star of the Pitt Panthers, at 9 o'clock. And then Quentin Hillsman about 9:30 this morning. So there you go. It's a full show. And we got stuff to talk about because I think we found the glob, and I think it's at the front of the ACC.
Well, that's what we've been talking about for 2.5 weeks, that the glob last year was in the middle. It has moved to the top, and we've asked the question, is there an alpha dog? You know what? Based on the weekend's results, I thought there were two in particular that jumped out. You may add a third for that, but I thought what took place at Little John Coliseum on Saturday evening was impressive. You know, Seth Greenberg last week said, you know, Clemson's coming off this pause, could be a problem. And I'm thinking, well, man, the Tigers have played a bunch of tough teams. They'll get back in the flow. Shoot, Wes, after making the first one, it got ugly in a hurry, like 29-5. Tag, you're it. Man, did Virginia look good or did Virginia look good? They were great on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, Virginia's efficiency certainly was impressive. The thing for Clemson is that the Tigers let a early offensive drought become a desert. My goodness, you just cannot find the basket. And I hate to say this, Clemson fans, some of these weren't close. I mean, it was the Clang Parade, wasn't it, Pack? Goodness.
Well, the ironic thing is, Clemson made their first shot. Amir Sims makes the first shot 30 seconds in the game. And then 10 minutes later and 13 missed shots later, you could go walk the dog. I mean, that thing was over. But while the Tigers are trying to find it, Virginia was in fuego, Dan Patrick. I'm telling you, man, they were awesome. I mean, they were making shots left and right, and it didn't stop. I mean, they got Clemson down 29-5 and said, okay, cool. All right, we're going to go into halftime, and then we're going to come out in the second half and make our first 9 threes. In fact, I think they made 17 of their first 19 shots in the second half. I'm not sure they ever hit the rim. I mean, it was just ridiculous how good Virginia was offensively. They got in a groove defensively. And the team that was picked first by the media before the season started is starting to take shape, right? I mean, when you go on the road and beat a ranked team by 35, by the way, it's the largest win for Virginia against a ranked team in hoops, men's basketball. Wait for it. Since Dirt. That's it. Since Dirt. Goodness gracious. I mean, that's just wearing somebody out now. I mean, that's just ridiculous how good that was. And by the way, Clemson, the flip side, their largest loss as a ranked team since Dirt. So the Hoos put on a clinic in Little John on Saturday.
Yeah. Amazing game when you think about what we were discussing Friday, right?
Yep.
I mean, just it's kind of funny how it unfolds sometimes. And give the Cavaliers a lot of credit because like a year ago, they're starting to round in now. Remember, we keep using this term round into form, and maybe it's taking a little longer because of the, you know, the balkiness of the season and that kind of thing and the pauses and all those deals. But here is Virginia now showing you a lot of the characteristics that we've become accustomed to. Now, Clemson shot it poorly on Saturday. There's no getting around that. But we need to see the Cavaliers probably, you know, flex it one more time, make sure that they're tuned up defensively. But, Pack, I'll say this. The offensive questions we had a few weeks ago, they have all been answered, I think.
Well, they went back-to-back, putting over an 80 spot. I mean, you just don't see Virginia score with that consistency. They did it against Notre Dame. And, I mean, it got scary. In Little John, I'm telling you now, because it wasn't just, hey, somebody got hot and they just rolled the coattails. I mean, everybody was making shots. And I think if you're Tony Bennett, you sat there with a smile on your face going, hey, you know what? I've seen this team improve ever since that Gonzaga blowout. And again, the Zags do that to everybody. And, you know, he even talked about it after the game, which I thought was interesting, where he said, we really learned a lot in getting beat like that. And, you know, a lot of times you get your hat handed to you. You go right back to work, at least the good teams with that championship DNA, go back to work and figure out, okay, where do we need to tighten up things here? Where do we need to get better? And watching Virginia Saturday versus when watching them against Gonzaga, that wasn't even the same team. And again, I'll emphasize, this was the pick before the season started to be the best team in the ACC. And I was just so impressed with the way they played on both ends of the floor. And even as despite the 29-5 start, I think Clemson cut. They made a shot right at the beginning of the second half to cut it to like 14. I know that sounds crazy. They cut it to 14. But you're kind of like, man, you know, Virginia's made everything they've looked at. How are they going to respond? Well, here's how they responded. Good, 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 miss. Good, 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 miss. I mean, it was crazy what they did. They just went from, okay, cool. You guys are winning 14. Snap your fingers because you're going to be down 35 here in about 5 minutes. I mean, they were really, really good. You know, it's funny. Watching Florida State last week when they just shot 71% and ran NC State out of the building and beat them by 100, you're thinking, you know what? There's nobody in the country beating Florida State tonight the way they played. I felt the same way watching Virginia Saturday night. You know what? Clemson, I know they had the pause and all that stuff, but even healthy, they weren't going to beat that Virginia team Saturday night. No way.
Yeah. Let's go to Brian Ives, researcher, producer, raconteur of ACC Network, with this weekend's tweet. What do you got going on behind you there?
We had we had stuff falling in the background here. Big Tex up here on the top shelf just fell.
Yeah.
Big Tex. So it felt like an avalanche coming in behind me. We'll have to get that straightened out during the break. Nevertheless, didn't mean to interrupt you.
Here's the tweet from Brian Ives. In the last 10 years, Clemson football is averaging 54 points a game against Virginia. In the last 10 years, Clemson basketball is averaging 53.
Mm.
Yikes.
Well, Tony Bennett.
Thanks, Brian.
Tony Bennett and company, I believe that's now 11 straight they've beaten Clemson.
Yeah.
And I think we know about the Tigers in the Virginia series, especially here recently. It's kind of like, hey, your turn in the fall. Okay, cool. Now it's our turn. And but boy, I was impressed with Virginia. And the funny thing is, too, Wes, watching all these games this weekend, and we kind of hinted on this on Friday, that there were two really marquee games to keep an eye on. Virginia, Clemson, Florida State, North Carolina. And when we get back on Monday, meaning right now, accounting is going to be adjusted, right? Regardless of how these things are going to play out. And I think given the other things that happened in the league over the weekend, Miami's surprise win against Louisville, Virginia Tech continues their fine play on the road, winning at Wake Forest, Pittsburgh doing their deal against Syracuse. We'll get in all these games. But there is no doubt that when it's our turn for accounting on Thursday, it is going to look totally different. I mean, totally different.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, because we spent the first month, basically, of the season going, have you seen FSU? Have you seen Scotty Barnes? And Saturday in Tallahassee at noon, you didn't see Scotty Barnes, but you saw FSU. And Florida State now is another team. They came off pause the other night, shot 71%, helped NC State to the door. Well, they took North Carolina's best shot on Saturday. I thought Carolina played very well. And there's a whole nother story down the road here about being encouraged about Carolina. But Raekwon Evans, Raekwon Gray, MJ Walker. Look, MJ Walker's playing himself toward a first-team All-ACC ballot two-pack. But Raekwon Evans and Raekwon Gray were sensational the other day. And MJ Walker lit it up from the perimeter early. And Florida State, North Carolina challenged, and good for Roy Williams. Now I know he'd rather have the win. But Koprivica inside, this looks like a pretty solid basketball team. And, oh, by the way, the best player didn't play.
Yeah, Scotty Barnes doesn't go, and Florida State still plays with swagger, and which we'll get into the Noles a bunch. But, you know, Anthony Harris is a name that we should bring up at some point in time. Because all of a sudden, North Carolina, I think, found the dude, right? I mean, he's coming off injury and everything else. But, man, was he good on both ends of the floor. Made shots, played great defense. North Carolina had a shot late. I mean, this was anybody's game with 2 to 3 minutes to go. Florida State made plays and took care of business, holding serve at home. The Noles are going to be a factor. And when they get completely whole and Barnes is back, again, they got so many guys that can score, as you pointed out. And you're right. MJ Walker, you asked me the other day about – right now, who's first team All-ACC, you'd be hard-pressed not to have him on the list. And there's another guy, Justin Champagne, who we're going to talk about later on with Pitt,
whew,
that is back, and he's back with a vengeance. So there are some dudes and teams that I thought kind of made a statement over the weekend. Virginia for sure, Florida State without question, a great week. I think North Carolina is showing signs, despite the loss, that they could be one of those teams that jumps up to the next level. Virginia Tech, as I mentioned, continues to play well. Clemson had a terrible, lousy game on Saturday. I'm not going to discount them. They've got too many quality wins, and they'll get back into a rhythm, even though I think this is an important week for them. And, you know, Pitt's another team, Wes. We really haven't seen enough of them. But
yeah,
the way they came back and exploded on Syracuse over the weekend, and they've got Duke tomorrow. The Blue Devils, we haven't seen the Blue Devils, it seems like, about once in a month, right? Just seems that way. We'll spend a lot of time on that game tomorrow for sure, but that all of a sudden is starting to feel like a big deal tomorrow. Doesn't it feel that way to you?
Yep, sure is. Absolutely right. And I think you talk about teams we just don't feel like we've seen in a while. It's been 2 weeks since I think we've seen Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like we've seen Duke in a while.
How about NC State?
NC State is on pause. Yeah, NC State. Well, we're not going to see NC State, I don't think, this week.
No.
Earliest chance might be the weekend.
Yeah.
No, not going to happen Wednesday in a big ball game against Virginia. Think about how big that ball game would have loomed, by the way. But let's go to the updated glob, if you will, or what we think of as the glob. Look at the top of these standings, folks. You got, and by the way, that's only six of the seven teams with one loss, right, Pac?
That's right, Wes. Good math. Outstanding work on an early Monday for you. Tremendous. Exactly right.
You got zeros. You got ones. What are we doing here? I mean, and this is the funny part. Wake Forest lost a hard-fought game last night. By the way, five-point game with Virginia Tech right here on ACC Network last night. And they're 0-5, and I think the Deacs have played pretty good. BC's 1-6, and Wake's 0-5. You kind of feel a little different about Notre Dame. Got a nice win over the weekend we're going to talk about coming up. But here's the deal. I mean, you got this top line here. You're asking me to sort out Virginia Tech, Louisville, Florida State, Pittsburgh, Duke, and Georgia Tech, and some of it I just can't speak to because I haven't seen them.
Yeah. Well, I tell you who I did see. I watched Virginia Tech last night, and Mike Young's guys, you know what? I don't care who you play in this league. If you go on the road and win, it's a good thing. I don't care if it's ugly. You get the W and you move on. Yeah. You mentioned Wake Forest and Coach Forbes. They've given you spikes, Wake Forest says. They just haven't quite put together 40 minutes to win a game, but hey,
that's
six,
right,
7 minutes to go in the game last night, you didn't know who was going to win that thing. But Virginia Tech, to their credit, finding ways to win. To me, that's always a great sign of a team. It just, you know, we're going to grind it, figure out a way. And Jalen Cohn, who we bragged about being Mr. Offense, had a goose egg last night going back home, and it still didn't matter. Virginia Tech found ways to win. So the Hokies have a really, really good club, and you pick up the win and you move on. You mentioned Virginia and NC State being postponed on Wednesday. Probably bad news across the board there. If you're Virginia, the way you're playing, you want to stay into a rhythm and keep playing. If you're NC State, and we haven't seen the Wolfpack since, what, the Clemson game. It seems like that was a month ago.
That's it.
And they were on a three-game losing streak. So,
well, no, Kevin, Florida. We saw Florida State, right?
Yeah, Florida State.
Florida
right.
State.
That's right. My bad.
Played Florida State.
I'm not sure we saw them that night anyhow. They got beat by 100. So if you're NC State, though, you want to get into, hey, let's get off this three-game slide and start winning some games. So it is we knew it was going to be strange and different, and that's probably precisely what we've got right now in the middle of January.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Big show coming up. Seth Greenberg joins us at 8 o'clock. Neil Ivey, Justin Champagne, and Quentin Hillsman all live on this program before we're done at 10 o'clock. When we come back, we dive into the best and worst of the weekend, and we'll start with the best. Oh, my goodness. Justin Champagne came back, and he wanted to make sure you all knew he was there. My heavens, what a Saturday for the Pitt forward. Cavaliers were pretty good too, and more when we come back.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, as Wes pointed out, Seth Greenberg, Coach Ivy, red-hot Justin Champagne, and the Q. It's coming up today on Packer and Durham on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. All right? A lot of folks chilling out, got the day off. Like I said, if you do, enjoy it. Make the best of it. And we will, too, this morning. I promise you. All right. We have go ahead, Mr. Durham.
Wait. Before we get to the best of the weekend in the ACC, would you like to confirm your best of the weekend?
You mean my food choice? Is that what you were referring to? Yeah. I had a hankering. I was working on our show, nonstop Saturday morning on some numbers and figures and stuff. And
I had a hankering. And I think it was a little more than a hankering, wasn't it?
No, I told my wife, I said, you know what I'm going to do? She goes, what? I said, I'm going to go grab lunch. And she goes, oh, okay. I said, can I pick up anything for you? She said, no, where are you going? I said, I'm driving to Lexington, North Carolina. And she goes, you're doing what? I said, I'm driving to Lexington for lunch. And she goes, you're going to go get barbecue? I said, I'm going to go get barbecue. And so I watched the first half of the North Carolina-Florida State game, and I got in a Ford F-150, right. And I listened to the game on the radio all the way up to Lexington.
Yep.
And loaded up, good. Bought some for Billy and Barb, brought it home, surprised them with that. So we had hush puppies, barbecue slaw, fries. Oh, it's disgustingly great.
There you go.
So that was my Saturday
afternoon.
Good.
I just wanted to make sure that a staple of the Packer and Durham program, friends, Lexington Barbecue. All right, here we go.
So good.
Best of the weekend. While you sit over there and think about how good that meal was.
I still have some upstairs.
Virginia.
Let me tell you something.
Sure.
Don't think for a second I can't make a cold barbecue sandwich and bring it down here and eat it for breakfast. Don't you think for a second I don't have that skill set. Because I do.
I know you have that skill set.
I got that skill
set. Well, maybe you can make it while I run down the best of the weekend, because clearly your best of the weekend is upstairs in the refrigerator.
It is.
Virginia shot 61% from the floor, nearly 56% from three at Clemson. The numbers themselves, it goes right along with Florida State shooting 71% against NC State the other night, Pac. I mean, the numbers just kind of look like, what?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Watch the game, and then you see this stat line, you're thinking, well, there's no way that can be right, because I don't remember them missing. I mean, it got to be almost comical, right? I mean, it was just spectacular what they were doing. And it wasn't just one guy. It was just everybody was making shots. I mean, everybody from anywhere, especially second half. When they opened up with nine straight threes in the second half, you're like, whoa, 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 what is going on here? They were great.
Yep. Justin Champagne's next on the list. He comes back from a knee injury, sidelined for Pittsburgh. And he comes back and goes for 24 points and 16 rebounds.
So good.
In his first game in over a month. Oh, tremendous.
And he'll be with us.
Absolutely tremendous.
He'll be on with us. And, man, I'm telling you what, the second half explosion by Pitt. I mean, you put a 96 spot on Syracuse, you're doing something right. And, you know, we keep saying, you know, Pitt's been flying underneath the radar, right? They really haven't played a whole lot of games. They've beaten Syracuse twice now. They play Duke tomorrow. It is a big deal. That's part of that. Again, we keep talking about the alpha. You know, that's one of those kind of games, that you, kind of a pecking order game, much like we saw with Virginia and Clemson, much like we saw with Florida State, North Carolina. You get that tomorrow. You get a great one tonight with Florida State, Louisville, too. Same deal. We're getting the good stuff now. It's good.
Remember, those two teams were scheduled to play late December. Game got pushed because of a positive test. So this will be the first time that Duke and Pittsburgh have played this year. Mm-hmm. MJ Walker rolled an ankle, and if he hadn't rolled the ankle, he might have scored 30 because he had 21 points in the win for the Noles against Carolina on Saturday. He was perfect from behind the three-point line the first half, Pac.
He's just a player and a great leader, right? I mean, it's just a go-to, and Leonard's got so many guys who can score, so many guys that can contribute. But man, when it gets to crunch time, you better keep an eye on MJ because he's going to have the ball in his hands and he can make a play.
Yep. Yep, no doubt. And he is he's one of the key elements, not only for them, but one of the key elements in the ACC. Miami snapped an 18-game losing streak against ranked opponents with a win over Louisville. If you're going to pick a surprise from the weekend, and I know Clemson, you know, missed a lot of shots and got beat by 35. This, to me, Miami had been really close. I didn't see this one happening. This is the one that surprised me.
Yeah, at all. Of all the scores, this was the one that you went, huh, what was that all about? And especially when you go through the injury report and you realize who wasn't available. We said it last week. Jim Larranaga's got his guys playing hard. And I know they got pounded at Boston College, yep. But I didn't see that one at all. I just thought Louisville had too many bodies, and maybe they're look ahead a little bit. I don't know. Listen, winning on the road's tough. I don't care what league you're in. Mm-hmm. And they proved it. And they've struggled at Miami. We gave you that stat last week. But I'm with you, Wes. I thought Louisville would win that game on the road and then get ready for the big one with Florida State. Yep. Now, all of a sudden, if you're the Cards, you got to make sure that this doesn't turn into a streak. So, like I said, there's a lot of really, really important games coming up this week.
Isaiah Wong, by the way, sensational again for Miami. He's been tremendous in conference play. Now, remember, if you were with us maybe on radio a couple of years ago when Packer said he could shoot it better than – you know, some players in the league from the free throw line. Well, on Saturday, well, you know what I mean. You were talking about you could make more shots than some players could in the driveway or something like
that. No, I said there was one guy in particular at Duke at the time. I'm not going to bring his name up because he's making a lot of money right now trying to attempt to make shots. Yeah. But he was just throwing up bricks left and right. And I don't think Jay Billis got on my case to get packed. You have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, everybody does.
That's exactly right.
I'm used to it. But nevertheless,
Florida State was 26 of 27 from the free throw line against Carolina on Saturday.
You know, while I was
Knowles just cleaned it up.
While I was sucking down my third barbecue sandwich from Lexington, driving down I-85, listening to the broadcast on the radio, the Tar Heel Radio Network, which was what I was listening to at the time, informed me that 21 consecutive free throws were made at the time until MJ Walker, of all people, guys shooting 97%. Finally missed a free throw. And when you combine that with the Noles going 11 of 11 from the line against NC State earlier in the week, they made their first 21 against the Heels on Saturday. Ended up 26-27. And they needed all of them, quite frankly, because, hey, that was, like I said, that was anybody's game with 3 minutes to go. But Florida State's been ridiculous shooting the basketball.
Yep. Good win for the Noles. Continue to excel at the free throw line. Notre Dame, Maui Mike. Goes home, gets his first ACC win. The Irish picking up a victory, 80-70 against Boston College. And again, Notre Dame was one of those teams you felt like, okay, they're kind of getting there. And Saturday they broke through. So congratulations to the Irish.
I mentioned to you last week, I thought that this game was very similar to what BC had the previous game, which was at home against Miami and needed to find a win just to get off that zero spot. Thought this was not necessarily a must-win for Notre Dame, but they had to have it. And guess what? Mike Bray got it. And so the Irish have a W finally in the ACC play.
We're getting around to rescheduling of games that have been postponed. We've got one now for February 1st, and that is Louisville and NC State. Game was originally supposed to be played last night. And so we're getting around to Louisville and NC State being rescheduled.
Love it.
Yesterday afternoon's nationally televised game now set for February the 1st.
Love it.
So that's a good thing for the ACC women for sure. We got to get that game played. That's too good a game not to be played in the regular season.
Well, two things here. Number one, Dana Evans joined us last week, and we asked her about, hey, you know, Florida State knocked two guys out of the tournament last year. Chip on shoulder or do you move forward? She didn't miss a beat. Chip on shoulder.
Right.
And man, Louisville took Florida State to the woodshed. And why it's a big game in terms of why NC State and Louisville being rescheduled is a big deal. Because in all likelihood, Wes, when the poll comes out today and tomorrow, guess who's going to be number one and guess who's going to be number two? You got it.
Exactly.
Louisville and NC State could very well be 1-2 in the latest poll.
Yeah, because Colorado beat Stanford over the weekend in the Pac-12, and that opens the door now for Louisville and NC State to move into the top two slots. So congratulations to Jeff Walls and Wes Moore on putting their programs on a pedestal. I'm not sure the ACC's been that strong, Pac. I'm not sure it's been 1-2. I think there's been a 1 or a 2, but I'm not sure there's been a 1 and a 2. In AP women's basketball history. Priscilla Williams, 26 points in Syracuse's win over Miami. We'll talk to Quentin Hillsman later in the program. 9 of 9 from the floor. Hello.
Didn't miss a shot from the floor. She missed one free throw. That was it. Other than that, it was a perfect game, putting a 26 spot on.
Yep.
And what about Cuse, man? 99? Can't wait to talk to Q, see what's going on there. But his ladies put on a show yesterday. But Priscilla, goodness gracious.
Absolutely.
Hot.
Yeah, that'll do it. College golf's spring season is underway. Jacob Bridgman threw a little 64 at him yesterday for Coach Penley on the farewell tour. Holy smokes. Right out of the gate?
First round of the spring. Let's go. I think there's 10 ACC teams playing in this Seminole Classic, and it started, of course, yesterday. But, man, you throw a 6-4 on the board right out of the gate. As they say, Wes, that is golfing your ball. 64.
It is. That's right.
Not familiar with it.
A lot of ACC teams down at Watercolor, by the way.
10
of them. Seminole at Camp Creek.
Yep.
It's a good track, by the way.
Never played.
We'll take a break. When we come back, it's nice. It's nice. We'll come back, get to the worst of the weekend. That list is not as long, which is good. Always important. Oh, man. We got more postponements, too. That's the unfortunate part in worst of the weekend. We'll get to that and more next.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. It is a Monday, 844-SAY-ACCN. A lot of folks chilling out today, enjoying the holiday. Understand why you have that day off. All right, Mr. Durham, we just gave you the best of the weekend. As you pointed out, a longer list on the positives and the negatives. That's always a good thing. However, we are transparent. And there were some things over the weekend that were not great. Not great.
No. No, there were a couple things that probably didn't go the way we wanted them. Louisville on Saturday, we told you that was a upset. Miami beating the Cards at the Watsco Center in Coral Gables. Louisville was 3 for 20 from three, Pack.
By the way,
three out of 20.
Yeah, let me just tell you, and this is just a subtle hint, a little foreshadow. 3 for 20 is going to be a theme for the worst of the weekend. 3 of 20. Just keep that in mind. Not only was Louisville 3 of 20 from beyond the arc, first half they're 0 for 10. 0 for 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you look down Miami's list of players available, even Timberlake.
Right.
You're like, how in the world is Jim Larranaga going to put – he's got 7 scholarship players. That's it. Guys, let's roll out the ball and go beat a top 20 team. And they did, snapping that 18-game losing streak against ranked teams. Jim Larranaga Wes, can you imagine if they were healthy? They would be another team that we would put in the upper tier, right? There is no doubt if they're healthy. They are in the conversation, and they're still causing problems
for
people despite 7 guys. Crazy how good he's done. He's done a great job with this team. He really has.
He's done a phenomenal job. He really – exactly. And no Chris Likes. Cam McGusty's been banged up. Right. Rodney Walker's done for the year. Sam Wardenburg was done before the year started.
Timberlake doesn't go Saturday.
You know, and then, I mean, it's just – it's one of those things where you just kind of respect and admire the way Jim Larranaga can kind of, you know, plug one hole with another, and then another one breaks, and you got to find another patch. So
his kids,
he's done a really good job. Now,
and his kids have really responded. I mean, Wong goes for 30 Saturday night, and they are playing so hard. And just think about all they had 3 straight games they lost by 2 points or less. That, I mean, worst case scenario for Miami was LLL. It just, again, a break here or there. And we're talking about Miami in a completely different situation as far as the standings are concerned. So they are not an easy out despite all the injuries.
I totally agree. 3 for 20. Here it is again. Clemson, Virginia. Tigers started 3 for 20 from the floor in the ultimate loss to the Cavaliers. There's the opening bucket. And we're off. Oh, bless our hearts.
Not pretty.
You just knew, didn't you, Pac? Just knew.
I'll be completely honest with you. I thought Clemson would have a little rust, and then they'd get after it. Of course, after the game, Brad Brunell said, hey, we didn't get the chance to practice until Wednesday, and it was a brutal practice. So he kind of knew this could be trouble. He said, we look slow. We just look like we're just kind of out of it. And this can be a problem for everybody that goes through a COVID protocol where all of a sudden you're off for a week or maybe it's 2 weeks. And it's hard to just flip the switch and go. But like I said earlier, even if Clemson were healthy and ready to roll, man, the way Virginia played, I'm not sure anybody in this league or much less around the country could have handled the Hoos on Saturday night.
Speaking of scoring, Pittsburgh had no problem second half against Syracuse on Saturday. The Panthers put 64 points on the board in the second half. Second half. Justin Champagne, a lot of that.
You think Pitt would like, you think Jeff Capel would sit there and go, hey, can we schedule Syracuse, like, I don't know, every week? I mean, they come from way behind in the first game, and then they just go off in the second half to go for the sweep. And as I mentioned, Pitt and Duke tomorrow. Keep an eye on that game. We'll talk about that a bunch tomorrow for sure.
Yeah. Ball game tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, by the way, over on ESPN. Virginia NC State's men have been postponed due to COVID in the Wolfpack program. So now we're into NC State kind of stretching out here a little bit. We mentioned we haven't seen Georgia Tech in, what, 15 days now, Pac, I think it is?
Yeah.
Here's NC State going through a second pause. Remember they had the one in December where they scrambled and got the St. Louis game after having a positive test while they were in the bubble. And now you've got a situation where the Wolfpack have lost the weekend contest with Georgia Tech. They have a Wednesday game scheduled and pushed back. And it's going to get interesting to see kind of how this plays out. Concerned about not only this team, but others now, because as we get into February, we talked about this the other day with the scheduling, the gaps are going to become much more narrow in terms of being able to replace some of these games.
Well, here's the other thing for NC State, and I'm still high on their team. I think they could be really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they got to win a game. They've not won a game in 21. You know, they haven't played many. And then you go through the pause, and then all of a sudden you kind of look at everybody else in the standings go zipping by you. And it's almost like, hey, we got to get going here. Let's start playing. But I will tell you, right, in some respects, while you want to get back playing, I'm not sure jumping on Virginia on Wednesday would have been a real good idea, the way the Hoos are playing. So, and if you're Virginia, right, hey, you want to keep playing. Man, the basket looks like the size of my home right now. So, you know, if you're Tony Bennett, we'll touch base with Coach tomorrow on the program. You want to continue that rhythm of playing games and making shots and seeing good things happen and watch your team get better. So it's an interesting storyline as we move on.
That's a big basket. It's the size of your house.
Did you watch them?
Anyway.
Goodness gracious.
I know.
Awesome.
It was awesome.
They were awesome.
It was unbelievable. Between that and Florida State the other night, holy smokes. All right. So NC State on pause. Now we've had some losses and some surprises. So what will accounting look like? It'll be a mess Thursday. You right now, it's going to be a mess.
Could be. There's definitely changes, right?
Because you got Florida State, Louisville tonight, by the way.
I just mentioned Duke and Pitt. You don't think that's going to have an effect on accounting? You better believe it's going to. There's no question that the top five, we kind of drew the line last week that the globs moved from last year in the middle to the top, trying to figure out the alpha, who those five are. And we drew the line at five. Those five got switched all over the joint. after the results over the weekend. And by the time we unveil ours on Thursday, hey, it's we're bound to have some new blood at the time. That could very well happen. You know, let Pitt beat Duke tomorrow. You know what? Let's see where that goes. Let Florida State knock off Louisville tonight and see how it changes. I'm just telling you, before you make fun of our accounting on Thursday, try it for yourself. It is not easy. And now we're starting to get about six or seven deep at the top. It's fun watching these games every night.
Yeah. Before we get to break, the last worst of the weekend, you see that my partner is still here today.
Yeah. Well, I was still going to be here.
So that means he was not the winner of the gabillion dollar Mega Millions.
There were no, I don't do this often, but I read all the time. I'm saying, oh man, somebody's got $800 million you can win. I'm in. So I came off the hip for $20. I bought 10 tickets. I bought 5 Powerball and 5 Mega Million tickets. And I told you that the theme of 3 for $20 was accurate. I spent $20 and I swear to you, I got 3 numbers right. Total.
On all the tickets? The tickets?
I went and counted them and I started laughing. I said, 3 for $20. Man, where have I seen 3 for $20 all weekend? I got 3 numbers.
You mean you bought 20 tickets? You bought $20 worth of tickets and you got 3 numbers?
I'll help you with the math here, Wes. All right? That's 6 numbers per
That's
ticket.
Brutal.
That's 10 tickets. That's 60 numbers. I'm picking 60
and
numbers.
You got 3.
I got 3 right. I'm like MJ Walker from the free throw line. 60 attempts and 3 clangs. That's it. 3 right. But here's the good news. You got to be in it to win it. And you know what? There's still, 1.5 billion to be won this week. And that's my chance. 0.
3 divided by 60 is that.
That's it. That was me. Clemson had a better chance of making a shot in the first half than I did of getting a number right on a Powerball. That's how bad I was. But those, it's still out there for the taking, Wes, if you're in the mood. Next drawing's Tuesday. 3
Great.
Out of 60
yeah,
numbers.
Sure. Load right up. I'll go buy $20 and get more than 3.
I would hope so. I will tell you this, though. Yeah. I'm going to try it one more time. I don't do it unless we go over $500 million. So I'm in for over $500 million.
Is that it? Just wait till it's absolute crazy money before you go?
If it's over $500, you've piqued my interest. I'll make a $20 investment for a chance to win $500 million. But I'm telling you right now, if I knock it out of the park and got lucky once in my life on that nonsense, I promise you I'll still be here at work next morning. Promise you.
At least for one day.
Oh yeah, for one day.
You don't get the money right away. You gotta, get some of the legal set up. And
knowing you,
you'd have to get some of your financial suits involved.
I definitely would. But I would still go to work. I'd still go to work. Don't know about you, but I'd still go to work.
Would your phone number change? Would your phone number change? Would you change your number?
I don't answer the phone anyhow. I don't. If you're trying to reach me by phone, only my closest friends know to call me. Other than that, I don't answer the phone.
All right.
You know that.
I do think if you want it, though, you'd be featured on In Play, and that comes up tomorrow night at 9 o'clock following basketball. You can't say that I don't know how to lead to a tease. Kelsey Riggs, EJ Manuel host In Play tomorrow night following Miami Syracuse basketball with Dave O'Brien and Corey Alexander. It's right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back to Packer and Durham's Monday Run, we honor one of America's great inspirational and influential leaders in our history. And there's a special connection to Clemson and Dr. Martin Luther King. We'll revisit that story next.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. Hope everybody had a good weekend. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Coming up in about 10 to 15 minutes, our buddy Seth Greenberg. Get his thoughts of the weekend and big games ahead. We'll get into all of that as we got a number of guests between now and 10 a.m. this morning.
You bet. And a day where we honor and remember one of the most inspirational and important and influential Americans in our country's history, Dr. Martin Luther King. His influence can be seen especially all over the country today, including in the ACC. Here is a unique and very revealing story about how impactful Dr. King came to be to a group of Clemson students in 1968.
In the 60s, it was a time of turmoil. The country was in the midst of change. Things were very much segregated.
The year that I came to Clemson, some students were protesting about integration of facilities in Orangeburg, and kids were killed. And I was here at Clemson. There were 12 of us, and it's like, ooh, wow, what's going to happen to us? And Clemson protected us. We didn't know we were protected, but none of that happened here.
Integration at Clemson has been characterized as integration with dignity. We were welcomed.
Dr. King was a very big inspirational force in my life, inspiring and then giving us hope, telling us to dream.
His biggest message was nonviolence, turn the other cheek. We thought he was a hero.
America is shocked and saddened by the brutal slaying tonight of Dr. Martin Luther King.
I was here on campus. I remember feeling and having the same sense of bewilderment as when President Kennedy was killed. It was almost disbelief.
I was a little afraid. Suppose something like that starts happening on a wide scale, this country could see race riots.
I cried. I knew immediately that. Excuse me.
That I wanted to go to his funeral.
I wanted to represent the family.
As the few of us that were black on campus gravitated towards each other, and we immediately talked about needing and wanting to go to his funeral or be present in some way.
We're at Clemson because of Martin Luther King. We need to do something. Ron Berry was closest to the Dean Cox, and he asked him, can we go to the funeral?
We somehow found a way to get down there, and getting Clemson to loan us vans, and that turned out to be a big deal for us.
Certainly, at this time in our history, for a major white university to assist its black students to attend Dr. Martin Luther King's funeral was unusual.
We couldn't get into church. So we found a fire escape and climbed up on the top of the four-story building across from the street. And they had, of course, they had loudspeakers.
We need to know that there is someone.
And we heard them.
Loves us.
We heard the eulogy
cares for
and
us.
The songs and all the ceremony that was going on in the church. The streets were lined all the way from Marvin Street to Morehouse. I've never seen so many black folk in my life.
The anger over him being assassinated, I didn't feel that much at the funeral. I felt the pride of, you know, the nation's watching this and the nation's honoring this black man.
To now look back and think how magnificent that was for our university to do that means a lot to all of us.
We had a lot of experiences, and it's good to
be able to see people and talk about the times that we had then. And
his dream has not been fulfilled. But I, hopefully, you know, the dream will come true.
Anytime you have somebody that has impacted America the way that Dr. Martin Luther King did, we need to have as many memories as we can, because we all continue to grow from what he taught us.
Amazing always to see pack the ties on this day, and really throughout the course of the late 60s that you always find with folks, and that is a great example of the impact of four guys that wanted to just be part of a magical event and a sad event, and the impact it ultimately had on them as people. That part right there always continues to, I find, very interesting and very fascinating, especially as it relates to Dr. King.
Powerful story, an incredibly powerful message, and, you know, a chance for all of us, quite frankly, to reflect a little bit today and understand how do we make this a better place. And boy, we can all use some reflection, right, given what's been going on here lately. But understand what today's all about. You know, we can all use some leadership, my man. I'm telling you. I've seen that piece probably three or four different times already. And it hits home every time, not just because I'm a Clemson alum, but hey, it's big picture stuff. And today, like I said, a lot of folks have the day off. Spend some time just to reflect a little bit and understand what the message is big picture today. No question. And moving forward for that matter.
Yep. When we come back, hour two of Monday's Packer in Durham, and friend of the show, Seth Greenberg, will be here to explain how Virginia won by 35 on the road, among other things. We look forward to Seth's Monday visits, kind of our therapy for the weekend of ACC basketball. We'll talk to the coach when we come back. Hour two of Packer and Durham is next on the Atlantic Coast Conference.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.